Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful you're listening to us from wherever you happen to be on this great planet in which we reside. We're returning with Ro Crosby. She is the founder, president, and chief executive officer of Tarot International, an organization that teaches so many skills for business people, nonprofits, charitable organizations. It's really quite an adventure when you sit down and visit with Ro and any one of her members. Achieve, lead, and outclass is what they do. Ro, welcome back. Nice to have you here.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Michael.
I am so intrigued by this conversation. We're going to be talking about how to teach people to ask questions. This is going to be surprising to me because I make my living, or at least partly, on asking questions. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to find out if I'm doing it okay or not. Ro, this is a class you teach at Tarot?
We do teach people how to ask questions. It's generally a segment of some of our other classes, so it's applicable to everything, leadership, selling, teams. So we've got elements of asking questions in a lot of our programs.
You know, recently we had a conversation about active listening and how to mold that into our persona. This is something that I suspect goes along with active listening, but tell us the basics of asking questions. Where do you start?
Well, the basics won't be a surprise to any of your listeners. So there's open and closed questions, sure. And I think all of us have heard of those. What most of us don't realize is there's at least three types of closed-ended questions and three types of open-ended questions, and that's what I think will be interesting for your listeners today, is to hear the different types. If you think about a sales professional who's told by their sales manager, go start asking questions and listen mm-hmm. more, and they find that their questions aren't getting the response that they need, they might not be asking the right questions. It's not enough to just ask questions. We've got to know what our goals are and then choose the right type of question.
So knowing what you are selling or what you are hopefully learning from people is the basis for how you structure the question?
Correct.
Huh. See, I'm learning something already. All right, so give us that example of open, closed, and you were talking about three different levels.
Yes. So we'll talk about six different types of questions,
yes.
Three closed and three open. The thing that characterizes closed-ended questions is they end up with a yes or no or a very brief answer. And closed questions are conversation stoppers. And so many people misunderstand and say, well, you should always only ask open-ended questions. But there are several reasons you might want to stop a conversation. So let me share with you first what those three types of closed-ended questions are and why you would want to stop a conversation. So the first one is a check-in question. And that's to check in and make sure you're understanding. So in a previous interview, we talked about the importance of listening. We can check in with someone and say, can we pause for a second? I just want to make sure I've got this right. Did you say, and then fill in the blank, did I get that right?
And that's a closed question.
That's a closed question. It's going to stop a conversation and give you the opportunity to validate that you're understanding correctly. The second type of closed-ended question is a clarifying question. So that's not to make sure you understand. It's to make sure the other person understands. So when I'm asking a clarifying question, I might say, does that make sense? And that's going to end up with a yes or no answer and ensure if I'm on the same page as the person I'm in communication with. Check-in and clarifying questions are not going to be huge ahas to your listeners. Most of us may not have that language, but we know what those questions are. It's the third type of closed-ended question that's the game changer, and it's called a permission-seeking question. And permission-seeking questions can be used for a variety of reasons. The thing they have in common is they're all short and get a yes or no answer. So I'll run you through a few of the uses and feel welcome to interrupt if you'd like to
I'm all
explore
ears.
It a little this bit is... more. So if I want to support someone, let's pretend that we're in a meeting and somebody has said something and I want to support them, I will start with a permission-seeking question and say, can I tell you what I love about that idea? Now, nobody's going to say no to that, but it's going to stop the conversation and it's going to bring the attention to whatever the point is I want to make. So I can use them to support people. I can use them to change the subject. So if I'm in a meeting and we're going off on a different track, instead of just trying to launch in and start telling people something, I can say, would it be okay if I change the subject? Or can I redirect this conversation? Those are permission-seeking questions that will stop the conversation and are usually going to end up with a yes answer. I can use it to make my voice heard. And this is something that actually has a gender component to it. We often hear females say that they're in a meeting, they say something, it doesn't seem to get heard. Somebody else at the table says it a few minutes later, it gets heard, and it's very frustrating for them. And often it's because they start talking and not everybody's listening. So to make sure your voice gets heard, use a permission-seeking question before you go into your message. So you say something like, can I make a point? Can I add something? Can I share a story? Any of those are permission-seeking questions that are likely going to get an affirmative response, and then you can go on and share your point, and all the attention is on you.
Three different ways to stop a conversation and get permissions from individuals to further articulate what you want to get across.
Exactly.
Wow.
And even in a one-on-one, you can, instead of just asking a question, you can say to whoever you're with, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, right.
That's a permission-seeking question. They'll say yes, and now they're listening.
And this is, you teach this.
We teach this. And the permission-seeking questions are game changers for anyone that chooses to embrace them.
All right. Now we'll go to the open questions.
Open-ended questions. And I think people listening will be thrilled to find out that if their open-ended questions aren't working, it might be that they're just using the wrong ones. And so I'll pack their toolbox with a couple other ones. The first type of open-ended question is the one we all know about, and that's the one to seek information. That's the one that the investigative reporters use, the who, what, where, when, how, why questions. And if you think about in a sales scenario or a leadership scenario, we often try to get information by asking these questions. But if the person doesn't know the answer or isn't on the same wavelength, those questions aren't going to work. They only work if actually you can get the information from the person. So very useful questions, the seek information ones. If those aren't working, the next one is called a guided thinking question. And this is to use an open-ended question that choreographs where the conversation's going to go. And the way we ask people or suggest people use this is to think about what are the tell statements that they would make in a meeting or in a conversation. A tell statement is, I'm going to tell you something. So if you think about a sales professional, they might say, you should buy this product because it's going to save you time and money. And that's a tell statement. Okay, is there any salesperson that's in your competitors that isn't saying the same thing, right? They're all making the same tell statements, and so people aren't even hearing them anymore. So we take that tell statement and we convert it into a guided thinking question. So this takes some planning. You can't just do it without thinking about it ahead of time. But if I'm trying to help my customer understand they can save time with my product, I might say, what would you do if you found that you had a few extra hours of time every week?
Wow.
And now we're talking about time savings, and then later on I can connect it to my product instead of just doing the tell statement.
Oh, yeah. That's powerful.
Isn't that great? And if you think about a leadership scenario, think about the bad news messages leaders have to deliver.
Of course.
Like, for example, budget cuts. We're at that time of year in a lot of companies, right? August, September, companies are having to cut the budgets. Instead of just coming out to the employees with this massive tell statement of, oh, we've got a 10% cut across the board, wouldn't it be better to have a meeting to facilitate dialogue and say, what opportunities for expense savings do we have in our department?
Engage them in the answer.
Exactly. And then after you facilitate a dialogue, then you can drop the news and say, those are fantastic ideas. We're going to have to find 10% savings, and look what you've already come up with.
Yeah. So they are taking part in actively setting budget requirements for the company in a meeting that they had no idea that they were going to be part and parcel of that adventure.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, guided thinking questions are just so wonderful, but it does take planning, and we encourage people, use this with your kids. Right. You know, have them set their own penalties for not making curfew.
Yeah.
You know, well, what are
what
we going to
do
if you're late?
What do you think about this?
Yeah, instead of just barking out orders, say, well, before you go out the door, let's talk about what do you think we should do if you're late?
Another conversation to have with your significant other as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, these are multi-purpose tools. They're the Swiss Army knife of conversation tools.
And the third?
The third is the test question. And this is a wonderful tool. We don't pull it out quite as often. But if you're in a situation where you disagree with something that was said, if you just disagree overtly, that can cause conflict.
Mm-hmm.
If we disagree in the form of a question, it's less disagreeable. So we just ask someone to puzzle through whatever their idea was. So if somebody tells you something that you know doesn't make sense, you simply say, walk me through what got you to that conclusion. Or what are the pros and cons of this suggestion that you've just made? And then they've got to talk through it.
And try to make sense of whatever their position is.
Exactly. And it takes them out of their position and makes them really think through it. And they may arrive at the conclusion you're already at when you've asked the question, rather than saying, that won't work, and let me tell you the five reasons why it won't work.
Why it won't work.
And you can see where that can get conflictual very quickly.
Yeah, certainly. But in a really kind of a non-threatening way.
Yes.
You're both exploring whatever the answer might be.
Yes.
Are you learning something, kids? I think this is fabulous. We're talking about a class, Taro International. Ro Crosby is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, the founder, president, and CEO of Taro, about asking questions, which I think is fascinating, because open-ended questions, closed questions, and both, you've given us perfect examples of all of this. Now go learn, kids. Go learn. and tell us about the class that Taro does in this. I mean, you've just kind of given a 15-minute overview of the class, but how in-depth do you get, and how much practice is there? And do the students, do the corporations that take active parts in this, do they have homework?
They always have homework when they come to Taro. And the skills are always applied in context. So if it's sales training, then we take a look at sales scenarios and have people come up with their own questions. And interestingly, once you get skilled with practicing this, then salespeople will find there's 6 or 8 questions that are their go-to questions. They work all the time, and then it's not as much work in the future. Leadership is the same. So we do this training in leadership training. We do it as part of our negotiation skills and our influence curriculums as well. That if you want to get somebody to adopt your point of view, it would be helpful to know where their mind is right now. Mm-hmm. So asking questions and listening is important for that as well.
In all facets, leadership, sales, significant other relationships, mm-hmm. all of these things can be taken away from tarot classes and put into use almost immediately. Yeah.
Yeah, they really can. The challenge we have as human beings is we jump to solutions so quickly, which is why we're always telling and sharing our ideas. But if your listeners want to try this, I'd really encourage them to just pause and think, how do I get the person to get there on their own? So the next time somebody shows up late for work, instead of making a speech about how inconvenient that is for everyone and how disrespectful it is, what were the circumstances that led to this late arrival? What impact do you think it is having on the business? What impact might this be having on your colleagues? And then that causes the other person to have to think through their actions.
How much psychology is in this?
All of it.
It is.
Yes.
It really is. Human behavior, ladies and gentlemen, in a classroom. Roe, this is stunning stuff. Thank you so very much for sitting down. And there is no problem, I would suspect, in people actually sitting down and writing out their questions.
We so encourage people to do that. Think through it, practice them, try them out at home before you try them out on your customers. Yes, that's a great idea to write them down.
Okay. Thank you.
My pleasure.
That once again is the voice of Roe Crosby. She is the founder, president, and chief executive officer at Taro International. And yes, we will have links to Taro up on the radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Roe Crosby, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.